and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and Luke chapter 24, or Luke chapter 22, I'm sorry. 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and Luke chapter 22. Those are the two passages of Scripture we're going to look at. I will put the Scriptures up here, and I encourage you to take notes on the back of your bulletin. And if you want to go ahead and write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's going to be 5 points today. So I've been out of the pulpit too long, so we're going to have more points. But the title of today's message is Fortify Your Borders. And we're actually going to, really the title is Fortify Your Faith. And faith has to be our borders that's around our lives. And I was thinking about this before going to bed every night. There's something that Jade and I at our house something that she asked me every night. She goes, Mark, are the doors locked? Is the alarm set? And then we always pray. We pray over us. We pray over Taya and Jarek and Cameron, and pray over our church family too. We pray for anybody that we know that is sick and all that, and we go to bed. And that's kind of our normal routine, and it's just very comforting and brings security. And we're fortifying our borders even while we sleep. We ask God to encamp His angels about us and protect us even while we're at rest. This past week, I was went to a guy and I just want to do a plug for him. His name is Lonnie Campbell. He used to work at Red Johnson Ford before Red retired and shut down Red Johnson Ford here over a year ago. But he was one of the mechanics there. But he's opened up his mechanic shop there in Hammond. And if you'll turn there at the sign on Highway 34 where it says Methodist Church, I think you go 5 blocks or so back west, and he's got a little mechanic shop down there. Of course, he'll work on anything, but prefers Fords and everything. So it's Lonnie Campbell's mechanic shop, and he'll do oil changes. So I called him up the other day. I said, hey, Lonnie, I need an oil change. And he said, yeah, sure, run it by. So I went by there, and he was telling me a story. He said, Mark, he goes, I got robbed this week. He goes, you know, I had pickups here and had some pickups broken into and stuff and some things stolen. He goes, this is the second time that it's happened. And he said, and I'm putting up security cameras to catch them. And he said, I'm fortifying my borders. And he said, if I catch them again, he goes, hopefully I'm going to catch them, their face and who it is. He goes, I have worked too hard to have what I have, to have somebody come along and steal it. And he says, I cannot stand a thief. And so the enemy is a thief. Amen. And we need to learn how to fortify our borders and put up some security cameras, by the way. And I'm going to show you something in the Word of God. I hope today it's really fundamental, but I believe it's going to help all of us to fortify our borders. And so if you're in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and Luke chapter 22, who we're going to learn from today is King Asa in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And then in Luke 22, we're going to learn from the Apostle Peter. And what we're going to learn from King Asa is that King Asa did some things in the natural to fortify his kingdom. So we can learn things from even the Old Testament that can apply to us spiritually in the New Testament. And so we're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And it says this. By the way, Asa would be a great, great boy's name. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he removed the altars of the foreign gods in the high places. I want you to notice what he did. He's removing all the false gods from the kingdom and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. So he's telling them, we're removing all false gods and we're worshiping the Lord God. He also, the one true God, he said he also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. Everybody say quiet. All right, it was quiet. And he built fortified cities. There's that, fortify your borders. Everybody say fortify. Fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers, gates, and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And so here's King Asa doing things in the natural to bring security to his people, to his kingdom, to fortify his borders. And the word fortify This is a simple definition of the word fortify. It means to strengthen with defensive works so as to protect it against attack. And what we just read there about King Asa, King Asa's fortification results in 2 Chronicles 14 was this: because he had those borders in place, because he removed false gods, because he worshiped the one true God, what came into his kingdom was quietness, rest, no war, peace, and prosperity due to fortifying his borders. And so we can learn something from King Asa. And I believe when we fortify our borders in the spiritual realm, those same results can happen to us. Yes, we live in a fallen world. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. We're all going to face things that we didn't sign up for. But there are some things that we can do and choices we can make to fortify our borders so that we will have quietness, so that we'll have rest, so that we'll have no war, so that we'll have peace, and so that we'll have prosperity. And we can make those right choices to have that. And in the Bible, when you study the word fortify in the Bible and borders, in the Bible, a fortified city was considered a blessing, a place of security and strength, and something to be desired. That's where you would want your family to live, was in a fortified city. And we too should desire the blessings of fortified walls around every area of our lives, our health, our finances, our families, and our faith. And I'm talking about fortifying our faith today. Because we have an enemy, the devil, who's roaming around like a lion looking for the tiniest breach in our border at any point of entry into your life. That's what he's looking for. So we've got to fortify our borders. All right, we're going to go to somebody. So King Asa, we want to be like King Asa. I'm going to show you somebody that we don't want to be like, and that's the Apostle Peter. Now, we do. I shouldn't say that. Thank God he was redeemed and God's grace, and we all need God's grace. Amen. But we're going to see something, a part of his life story, his testimony, something that happened to him and what caused it. In Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34, it says, "And the Lord said, Jesus said, Simon, Simon," I'm talking to Peter, "Peter, Peter, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." He's telling him, basically what Jesus is telling him, "Hey, Peter, your faith borders are down. Your borders are down. The enemy is asked to sift you like wheat. He's there. He's found that breach, and I'm there praying for you." Thank God Jesus is in the gap for every one of us. Amen. So here's what Jesus says. And he says, "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." There's Peter popping off, telling him everything he wants to do. Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me." And that was what, we all know that story. And the rooster crowed the three times, and Peter repented, and Jesus, after the resurrection, came back and restored him. But whenever I was studying this, I was like, okay, I want to learn something from the life of Peter, and that's why we have the Word of God, to learn so we don't make the same mistakes. I said, why was Peter's border down, allowing the enemy access to his life? And if you know the Word, and if you read in context, and you go up and read Luke chapter 22, the rest of the story before this, you will find out. I'm not going to do that on the screen, but I encourage you to read it. The disciples were arguing who was going to be the greatest in God's kingdom. They're arguing over who's going to be the greatest in God's kingdom. And that's when Jesus stepped in and said, because I'm sure Peter was the loudmouth and was saying, "It's going to be me. I'm Peter, the rock, I'm going to be the greatest." And Jesus was like, "Hey, Peter, Satan is at your door, and he's asking to sift you like wheat. Your borders are down." And so they were arguing over who's going to be the greatest in God's kingdom, and that the word is pride. Pride. And every one of us in here, I don't care how humble you are, every one of us have dealt with pride in our lives, the pride of life. And so I want to just give you real, I'm not going to put these on the screen. This is kind of a little sidebar for this teaching today. But four things that we need to understand about humility that we can learn from Peter here. Number one, humility towards God must be demonstrated in relationship with people. Those guys were arguing over who's going to be the greatest. Nobody was saying, "Hey, let me wash your feet. Hello." Jesus did that right before he went to the cross. Jesus was keeping his borders in place. He knew what was about to happen, but he humbled himself and washed the disciples' feet. So humility towards God must be demonstrated in relationship with people. Number two, great grace is only reserved for the humble. I don't know about you, but I need God's great grace, God's amazing grace in my life. So therefore, I need to stay humble. Humility is a learned thing. It's something you do, or then life does it to you. It's kind of built into life. Number three, not only is God opposed to the proud, but pride is self-defeating. If you want to defeat yourself, just walk in pride. The enemy doesn't even you're doing it to yourself. And that's what Peter was doing to himself. Number four, God wants to exalt his children. His reward for humility is promotion. So it has to be humility plus nothing equals promotion. Amen. Humility is the way. And I just this little side note from the Apostle Peter. Humility is the way to fortify your faith, to fortify your borders. You got to stay humble. And today I'm going to give you five things, all right, to go off of this. These are fundamental things to help you fortify your faith. Very simple, very practical, but we have to go back and do this. Every one of us. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. Every one of us can learn from this message today. And I believe the Holy Spirit is going to highlight one of them and say, hey, you need to work on that. Okay? And so it's not for your wife or your spouse. If your spouse is here, it's for you. When you hear that, the Holy Spirit say that, that's the area that you need to work on. Okay, here's number one, and I am going to put that on the big screen. Number one, your faith level determines your victory level. Your faith level determines your victory level. And this is 1 John 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Everybody say faith. Little Hayes is over here helping me preach this morning. Hey, he's okay. I love kiddos. I love babies. John 16, verse 33. Here is John 16, verse 33 says, these things I have spoken to you. This is Jesus speaking, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Meaning you're going to go through some things in this world, but Jesus said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I had a gentleman this week, and he was a retired pastor, older than me, and we were in a meeting, and this first time I ever met this man, and he's sitting across from me, and he looks at me and he says, Mark, what is your faith? And here's with me, okay, guys. I'm gonna say something. I'm gonna get on my soapbox for just a second. The most segregated thing on the planet Earth is not the races; it's the body of Christ. Yeah, it really is. And when people ask me that, it just kind of goes all over me, and I've got to just get the Tabasco sauce to go down a little bit before I respond. And of course, I knew what he was asking, and I just said, "Well, our church." And so I went into the politically correct answer, you know, instead of popping off and saying something that I shouldn't have. But I just told him, you know, we're non-denominational or interdenominational, whatever you want to say, church, you know. And he said, well, I'm a Baptist. And that's okay, because I've been in Baptist churches. There's great people in Baptist churches. We're all going the same place, by the way, amen. But here's the thing, guys, and I'm going to say this because I feel like I need to say this. Because I don't want any of us doing this. I don't want to do this in my own life either, is we're all going the same place. We're all on the same team. But I can tell you this, in that meeting that I was in, his attitude towards me changed after that moment because I wasn't like him. But here's the deal. We still worship the same God, and it shouldn't be that way. And that's the thing that's going on in the body of Christ, and it needs to stop. Because we've got to fortify our borders as the big C, the big church, and what keeps our borders down is when we're not in unity as the body of Christ. And so I'm believing that, you know, on the way to church this morning, Jade and I were jamming out to Rattle, okay, Let the Dry Bones Live, and it's talking about the body of Christ rising up, and I've been believing for the body of Christ to rise up after all this, that we unify and come together, amen? So I wanted to share that with this, because when he asked me, what faith are you? Here's the deal. Your faith is not an outcome. Amen. Your faith is not an outcome. Your faith is not in a denomination. Your faith is not in a building. All right. Your faith is in a person, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where your faith has to rest. So that's John 16, verse 33. Remember, Jesus, when you have your faith in him, be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. I don't care what you go through in this world. You keep your faith in him, you're going to overcome it. Amen. Keep yourself, and with this, I'm going to say this, keep yourself separated from the world. You're in the world, but you're not of it, all right? We're all pilgrims passing through. And what I mean by that is not, it's not this, okay? I don't want you to get the religious mindset here. Some people go left field in religion. And they say, well, I don't smoke, drink, cuss, or chew, or hang out with those that do. Well, what if you do two out of the five? You know, and here's the deal. That isn't it. Hello? That is not it. That's not what I'm talking about. Keep yourself separated from the world. What I'm saying is this. You've got to have the mindset of Jesus needs to be in you. So don't let the media, the television, friends, or family talk you into abandoning what you know is true. Abandoning the faith. All right? It's not that other stuff. That doesn't have anything to do with it. Jesus ate with sinners and hang out with them. We need to be hanging out with people of the world and rubbing off on them. Amen? All right, here's number two. We all receive the same measure of the God kind of faith when we're born again. I'm going to say that again. We all receive the same measure of the God kind of faith when we're born again. So somebody one time said, well, you know, and I'm a pastor, and I love praying for people, and I will pray for people when people call and ask. I'm going to pray for people and all that. And some people say, well, we need that preacher faith. Well, there's not preacher faith, okay? There's not preacher faith. We all have the same faith, amen? But faith is like a muscle, and so we all have to exercise it. And if you're not exercising it, you can, you know, it's just like working out. If you're not exercising, you can go backwards. You can regress. And so we're constantly in this faith walk progressing. And so Romans 12:3 says this, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So there it is again. And my daughter's back there looking at it. I'm sorry, it's not measure, it's measure. Yeah, sorry, honey. Tava's looking at me going, oh, God, there he goes again with the Hickville. I'm sorry. Okay, measure, not measure. It's measure. All right. Here to go with this. We all receive the same measure of the God kind of faith when we're born again. Now, there's decisions, and these are all practical things that I'm talking about today, because there's things that you can do. We live in a fallen world, and I understand there's some things that's happened to my wife and I that we didn't sign up for, even though our borders were up. Then, you know, life happened. The tribulation happened. All right? But there are things that we can do as Christians to fortify our borders. And here's one of them that goes along with this. You need to choose your friends wisely. All right? And did you know people who spend time with those who are making poor choices are more likely to make those choices themselves? Who you spend time with matters. The wise walk with the wise. Spend time with people who are full of faith, and it will fortify your own faith. I am so happy that we're having church again, because I will see people, and it will fortify my faith. I see my Ira back there. It fortifies my faith. My Ira don't know this, but she's been encouraging me online. She's been in Babes. I've been in Dudes, all right? She has been losing a lot of weight, and she's been inspiring me to get my telling gear, to take care of my temple. Amen? By the way, I'm down about 25 pounds. I know I don't look like it because I got about 25 more to go or more before you even notice. But I can tell. Clothes are fitting looser. I feel better. But Myra has been a source of inspiration to me. And she doesn't even know that. But seeing her today brings me strength. Amen? We need each other. We all need each other. And here's what I want to say about friends. You need to have friends that are older than you. You need to have friends that are the same age. And you need to have friends that are younger than you. I really believe that. So you'll be well-rounded. And if you don't have those, ask God. God, send me some friends. You know, help me notice who they are that are in my life so I can start building those friendships. I had a, and because 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, do not be deceived, evil company corrupts good habits. And what made me, I'm going to share a story because I want to send this message to the family today, is I was thinking, as I was preparing this message, I was thinking about, you know, people that have come across my path and my, and so, let me say this, some of these friends, they may be lifetime friends, but some of these friends may be for just a season in your life, and then they really impact you. And I've had friends like that that's really impacted me. One of them I just heard about, her name is Carla Passion. She went home to be with the Lord this week, and I was thinking about how she had blessed my life tremendously. She doesn't even know the friendship, but we were serving in a church in Elk City when I first got saved and got into the ministry, and her and her husband, by the way, we were in a Pentecostal church, but her and her husband had actually grew up in a Baptist church, and he'd actually served as a music minister in a Baptist church. Just wonderful people, Casey and Carla Paxton, and they were older than me, and they saw the call of God on my life, and they began to tell me that they were praying for me, they would encourage me, they were supporting me. All these things. Casey's a great man. They used to own the Cheyenne Star, and then they moved and had the Mangum News there, and just a wonderful couple. And when, I'm just going to share this story because I want to send this to the family, is Carla, the pastor there, had put me in charge of the Sunday school, okay? Well, this church had a Sunday school. Well, the Sunday school was dead. Nobody's coming. They're just coming to church. And so I'm like, great, I'm in charge of a dead thing. And so I'm like, well, first of all, we gotta get classes started back again. We need to get the right teachers in the right classes, and started working on that. And Carla came along and began to help me get the right people in place, because she knew more people in the church than I did at that time. And she began to help me. And then I found out that the Sunday school, we had a budget, but the Sunday school has been in debt for years. And so the church would give a little bit of money to, you know, but it never would get out of the red. It was never in the black. And so I'm thinking, okay, God, how do number one, do I get people to come to Sunday school? Then number two, how do I get them to give to Sunday school? Because I don't want them to take away from giving to the church at large, you know, their tithes and offerings. They can give offerings to the Sunday school. And so how do I do all this? And I was praying about it. And here's what you can learn from friends. Amen. So God sent this friend named Carla Paxton into my life, and she said, Mark, she goes, we did something at our church, at a Baptist church a long time ago, and it was for Sunday school, and it was a great way to teach the kids the Bible and teach them the Bible lesson about Jesus and the crucifixion and the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And she said, what we did was we did a deal called 30 pieces of silver, and all the kids and adults got this little deal and the teaching that goes with it to bring 30 pieces of silver on Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter. And because that's what Jesus was sold, you know, by Judas for 30 pieces of silver. And it teaches them the story and all this. And so what we did, this 30 pieces of silver, and guys, we were counting silver for weeks. And after that had happened, and we got out of debt and got money, and then we was able to have a teacher appreciation. And I was able to get them all this little rock that says our faith is built on a rock, because we had enough money in the account to do that, and appreciate all the teachers. And it was Carla Paxton who gave me that idea, a friend. And she's in heaven today, and she is celebrating. Her faith was on the rock, which was Jesus. All right, so I just wanted to share that today, because we all need friends, amen? We need each other. Number three is Jesus is the source of our faith, and he will help us develop it if we put his word first place in our lives and do what he says. And this is Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher. Everybody say finisher. Finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Basically what this is saying is we need to be looking. Jesus is the object of our faith. He's the person of our faith. We put our eyes upon him, and we need to let him not only be the author, the starter of it, but also the finisher. And so I want to encourage you, If you're still walking with God, your faith isn't finished. God wants you to go from glory to glory. He wants to stretch you. He wants you to grow. Amen. And you need to get around people that are going to challenge you. And you know, here I am, and I've been walking with the Lord for these many years. I can't remember how many. And I'm like, okay, God, I'm growing. I feel like I'm growing. And then all of a sudden, I read something this week that challenges me even more. And here's what I read, and I'm going to share this with you guys. Is I read about a minister who was studying the Word of God, and he found out in the Word of God that in Genesis 6, chapter 6, verse 3, I think it is, that man's allotted time on the earth was 120 years. And then some people will argue that and say, well, in the book of Psalms it says 70 or 80. Well, that was for the children of Israel when they were walking in disobedience in the wilderness. So he's like, okay, I can't believe for that. I need to believe for the 120. And he says that as he was studying the Word of God, he said, I don't feel like it's a mandate. I felt like the Lord asked me, will you do this for me? Will you set your faith on this? And he said, and I did. I set my faith on it. Here's the deal, guys. I know who this minister is. He's 83 years old. He looks better than me, and I'm 50. All right? But here's what I learned from him as he's been doing this. He says, I started having to eat right, better. He said, I realized that I couldn't carry around 30 or 40 extra pounds if I'm going to fulfill this. He says, so I'm exercising all the time. I saw some elbows flying already. He said, so I'm exercising, you know, daily and doing things at 83. And he said, here's the deal. He goes, I didn't like to exercise when I was 23. And he says, at 83, it's really making my body scream. But he said, but I'm having to learn how to put my flesh under. And what he was saying is a lot of times, this is something else that he in this article that I read. He said, a lot of times we are blaming the devil for stuff. The devil's already been defeated, by the way. Yes, I know that we have an adversary. I understand that. But he said, a lot of times what we're dealing with in this growing in faith is our own flesh. And we've got to learn how to keep it under and put it under subjection. And you have to do that by faith. And so I was like, okay, Lord, I'm not there. I'm just trying to lose 25 pounds. But I'm doing that to live longer and fulfill my destiny. Amen. And we all need to be doing that. All right, here's number four. The most basic law of faith is believe with your heart and say with your mouth. This is the law of faith, and we need to learn how to do this. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. That's how you are saved. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, you're saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13 says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. So it's talking about believe and then speaking. We have to do both. That's the basic law of faith, is believe in your heart and say with your mouth. Now, this goes right along with it, number five. For the Word of God to consistently come out of your mouth, it must be in your heart in abundance. And this is Matthew 12, verse 34, when Jesus was talking to the religious people. He said, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? They couldn't, because their heart was evil. Because Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you want to know what's going on in somebody's heart, just listen to them for a little while. They'll tell you what's going on. Be a good listener. They'll let you know what's going on. Matthew, jumping down a few verses in Matthew 12, Jesus says this. He says, but I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So evidently words are important. And the idle words that Jesus uses there is, and I'm just going to throw this out there and let you all know what they are. There's throwaway words, there's fear words, there's worry words, etc. Basically, they are words that do not proceed from faith. And we need to stop that. If you're given to speaking negative over yourself, you need to stop it in the name of Jesus. If you're given to talking about your symptoms and your ailments and your sicknesses and your diseases, you need to stop it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I mean, you get around some people. You know, we were around somebody this week. You know, and the first thing they start talking about is all their ailments and their sickness. And you know what? It's not going to get any better because they're just talking it. And we need to talk healed. talk healed. If you can't talk healed, then stay silent. Amen? Practice silence. And it works, guys, because God gave us this mouth. We are speaking spirits. We were created in His image. And first words matter. This is my next slide. First words matter. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So you always want your first words to be words of life. Speak life over your businesses, over your marriage, over your farm, your ranch. You speak life over things. Speak blessings over things. I'll never forget Robert Morris is a pastor that I listened to a lot. And he was talking about when they first started their church there at Gateway. And he said he'd been praying. And he said the Lord really told him during prayer time, he said, you need to be speaking life over your church. Because he said there's a lot of people, and he said, and even Christians, this is sad, even Christians that are speaking death over your church, speaking word curses over your church. And so we don't want to be speaking word curses over people or over ministries. We want to be speaking blessings. Amen. Every time you drive by here, just say, Lord, I speak a blessing over Harvest Fellowship Church and everybody that goes there. That's what Jade and I do every time we drive by here. Amen. All right, first words matter. Keep the Word of God going in your ears all the time. Remember, low word level equals low faith level equals a slip. So don't slip. Amen. Keep the Word going in your ears. And I'm going to end with this passage of Scripture. I love this passage. This is Jesus in Mark 11, verses 22 through 24, talking about fortifying our borders and fortifying our faith. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Did everybody learn something today? Fortifying your borders, fortifying your faith. All right, I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. And it's so good to see everybody. And we're going to close like we typically close. And just want to make sure that everybody here knows Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We're going to do what the Bible says, what I just read in Romans 10:10. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I want to lead you in this prayer of salvation. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat it with them. And this is also for people to be listening to this on the radio and then also online. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. If that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, your next step of obedience is falling in the Lord and water baptism, and we have a heated hot tub up here, a heated baptistry. The holy hot tub is what we call it. And we can get that heated up for next Sunday and get you baptized, okay, if you've never done that. And maybe you're like me. Maybe you did it when you were a child and you feel like now you're older and you feel like you need to do it again. Do it again. You're looking at a two-time dunker right here. And the second time, we got it, all right? Jada, would you come up here with me, babe? And we're going to, Jada and I are going to speak a blessing over you guys. So if you have your spouse there with you, I want you to join hands with them, your family, stand up. Join hands with your family, and I'm going to speak we believe in the power of the spoken word and the power of blessing, and that we need to do, and then we do this every Sunday, all right? Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Hug somebody's neck, or I guess shake their hand, say, fortify your borders.